Sunday, the 27th of January, Rabbi Yossi Levenberg, when do we not follow the majority?
Rabbi Anderson Eibschitz, with the Tzaddik of Rocha, when he was Robin, Ihu, Atuna Ham, and once the, one of the heads of the state, well known, above of three major towns in Germany, and the head of the state knew him as the representative of the Jewish people, and they had ongoing discussions and debates. The governor was propagating, of course, the Catholic religion, and he called Rabbi Anderson once, and he said he has an important question. He said he learned in his Bible studies that in this week's address, says Achrei Rabin Mahata, that we have to follow the majority. Therefore, he says, if you look around the world, you'll see the majority of people are Catholic. That's what he thought then anyways. I'm not so sure it's correct today. But he says you have to follow the majority. Definitely the majority aren't Jewish. So why don't you go for the right? Follow the right. That's what the governor asked him. So Rabbi Anderson, being as brilliant as he was, said straight away he answered. He says, the Torah tells us that when we're in doubt, when we're not sure what to do, we follow the majority. He says, if we have no suffering, we have no doubt, there's nothing to verify. This is one of the means of verifying things that we don't know and that we're not sure about. We have no suffering in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and Amunah Pshuta in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's nothing to verify, nothing to verify. Who cares what the majority says? This is the famous answer of Rabbi Anderson Eibschitz. But one thing is for sure, that this week's Sedra, Achrei Rabin Lahatos, one of the Indian of we call going Bosarov, following the majority, is one of the major principles in Yiddishkeit, and straight through Shas, you'll always find Bosarov. I would just like to touch the end of the tip of the iceberg and just open it up a little bit and say something which is relevant today. Before we actually do the Gemara, I must tell you that there's been a lack of discussions, mainly from the other side of the Atlantic, a group in America around 2 years ago went around and published and bombarded the Rabbonim with a problem. And the problem is that the cows have various illnesses, and some of them make it a trefa. They also receive various injections, and they also sometimes, because of an excessive gas, they puncture sometimes the b'nei ma'ayim, the intestines, in order to make the animal more comfortable. And that's one of the trefas. And the problem is, if you take any group of animals, you'll find that around 20% are trefa. They were geschachten, and then they were nivdak, they were checked out, you'll find around 20% are in there. Now, we all know, we go for sarayas, there's no major problem, you check them one at a time, and you guide it, and whatever we find is fine, whatever's no good is no good. Well, we have no problem with that. The problem is in the milking, they said. In the milking, they milk, let's say, 100 cows. A guy has a small farm, he has 100 cows. From those 100 cows, if once we put the check them and check it out, we'll find that around 20% are trefa. 20% of those animals are not. The rule is, Hayotze Menatome Tome. If an animal is a treifa, the milk isn't kosher either. And therefore, these people who put out all these leaflets and all these things went and said, you can't eat the dairy products since 20% of the animals aren't kosher. Therefore, if they milked all the cows, 20% of the milk isn't kosher. So all the milk and the cheese products, and they wrote to the grocery stores, they made a ganze tummel that you can't use the milk in America. And subsequently, the Shiloh went around to the Gedolei Yisrael, and we would like to just discuss a little bit about Roiz, and then we'll see how it touches upon this Shiloh. The opening of the sugya of Roiv is the Gemara of Chulin Daf Yud Aleph. And the Gemara says, Mino ha-milsa da'omar Rabbonon zil bosa ruba. How do we know this thing? The Rabbonon always say that you go bosa Roiv. Where did it come from? So the Gemara says, Minonon, you want to know where it comes from? The Ksir Bakre Rabban Lahata is a similar Purush of Pasim. You open up a Pasim for Shpasim, and you'll see that you follow the majority. What are you asking? A question, where is this thing that the Rabbanan say that you go for the Rabbanan? You open your Chumash, you'll see it. So the Gemara says, no. Ruba de Isse Kamon, to my Tes Chanuyais, the Sanhedrin, Loikomi Boilon. Ki komi boilon, ruba de lesser kamon, kigan kotan utkamon. Now these are the major points in the sugi of rice. The Gemara says like this, it's true that there's a pasuk of Afrei Rabim Lahatim. You have to follow the majority. Ruba de isa kamon, there is two types of rice. There's a rice of things that are before us. To go in Tes Chanuyos, nine shops, the Sanhedrin. So Rashi says like this: Tesha Chanuyos, Kulan Moichreis Bosa Shkuta, the Achas Macheres Bosa Nevela. I've got nine kosher shops, and one of them sells non-kosher meat. The Nimtza Bosa Boret, and a piece of meat was found on the ground. So Hoylech Aka Haroyv, we follow the majority, the Hokamon Chazina, the Ruba de Hatera. So Rashi says, there's nine kosher shops. There's one non-kosher shop. I find a piece of meat in the street. So where the odds it came from? It came from the majority of the shops. So maybe since the majority of the shops are kosher, so Rashi says, then we go Bosa Roiv. And that is what the Pasuk Achrei Rabim Lahatis is talking about. Now the rule is, I don't want to go into it, that's not the subject of the thing, if you have a Sukkot, which shop you went into, so then there's a rule of Kol Kavua Tamachta Machta, and that's an exception to the rule of Rive, because the shops are stationary, each one in its own place, there's a question of which shop you went into, then it's Tamachta Machta, that's a various Akosov, that you don't go above the rug. If the meat is detached from the place it came from, so then you have to be done, where did the meat come from? So then that's called porosh, and called the porosh, meruba porosh. So therefore, we say the meat is kosher. In fact, you can eat the meat. The second thing the Gemara says that the pasuk is referring to is Sanhedrin. So Rashi says with Sanhedrin, the snam, Yud Beis Mezaken, Yud Aleph Mechayzen Zaken. There's the Sanhedrin, there's two Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin of Chof Gimel of 23, the Sanhedrin of 72. But in the Sanhedrin of Chof Gimel, if Yud Beis Mezaken, 12 of them say he's innocent, and 11 say that he's Chayil, Zaken, the guy is cleared. So far we have two cases which the Pasuk is referring to. One case is the nine shops, and one case is a majority within the Sanhedrin. The Paskin, the example of the Mishnah is that 12 say that he's innocent and 11 say he's chayav, he goes scot free. Now, so the Gemara says that is not a question, because those two things the Paskin definitely refers to. And that's called a Ruba de Isa Kamon. the numbers, the things are in front of us. There's 9 shops against 1 non-kosher shop. There's 12 people passing in the Sanhedrin against the 11. The majority is in front of us. There is another case, which is Ruba the lesser come on. There is no majority in front of us. What is it? What kind of rise is this? Chotnut Kana. The Pligi Rabon Alei the Rav Meir B'Yavam, as Rashi says this now, Yavam Kotam Shabar Yavama. You have a young Yavam, and he's together with the Yavama, Kana. Yagadlu Zayn Zayn, and they're allowed to be together. So it means like this. So the brother died. So there's a Yavam Katan, and the Yavam Katan is Baal Aktana, and they're allowed to then grow up together. The Lai Chashinen, we're not worried. Shema Timta Ironis. Perhaps this young lady, when she grows up, you can't tell now that she's still a child if she's going to be able to have children or not. So maybe when she grows up, she'll find out that she's an ironless and she can't bear their children. Or who saw it, or that he can't have children. The nimtza pegeya beishasoch of shalei b'mokam mitzvah. And so come out that all the years after they were together, they weren't sent because of their brother-in-law. And only b'mokam mitzvah is it mokam. But if it's not b'mokam mitzvah, then it's mamash and erva. So if it's yotra l'hochim shein la'ochiv, if it's possible that they should have children, so fine. So that's where the mitzvah takes place. And the mitzvah says that they're allowed to be together. But here, when they're children, so we're not sure if either of the two are capable of bearing children. Right? So therefore, how do we know that they're allowed to be together or not? So on that, Elamrinen zil bota roiz chanin ba'alma. Deinam srisim. They have a ruba, the lesser come on. So Rashi says, majority of people who are normal, there's no problem. Why should we suspect that this boy won't be able to have children? Why should we suspect that this woman, that this young woman, is eventually, when she grows up, she'll also not be able to bear children? It's not the majority of people can have children, both boys and women, both, each one can do what they have to do. So if that's the case, so we don't have to worry that perhaps it's not like that. Now, the Hainu Ruba the lesser come on. And that's what arose that is not before us. Now let me explain you the way they explain it in the Bishushin. And the way it's explained is like this. In the case of the 9 shops and the 10th one not kosher, in the case of the Sanhedrin, we've got the voting which of the Sanhedrin, there's a clear number and there's a clear majority in front of us. In the case of cotton k'tana, no one went around the whole world and counted all the cotton, all the male children, and checked up them medically later when they grow up if they were able to bear children. No one went around the world counting all the girls to see if they grow up to be an islander or they grow up to be normal. No one did. There's a thing in nature, there's a thing the Matthias tells us that that is the way it's going to be. I mean, the numbers are not in front of us. No one ever actually went and checked it. But there's a reason why it should be that way. Most people are healthy. Most people are born normal. Most male children can bear children. Most girls can bear children. So if that's the case, it's a ruba the lesser come on, but it's supported by the laws of nature, which tells us it's probably that way. So it's a little bit abstract, but I've got a reason to say that most people are normal. I've got a reason to say that this, probably everything's all right. So if that's the case, I could assume that this child is from the majority. I can assume that this boy is a normal boy because most boys are normal. I can assume this girl is normal because most girls are normal. So therefore that's called a ruba the lesser come on. A right which is supported by a reasoning and an assumption, and therefore we assume there's a majority and we assume that this is part of the majority. That is it. Now, the Gemara then says, The pasuk refers to Ruba the Isatamon, and we are asking Menolam the Adamu Rabbanon is Lesser Kamon, and Lesser Kamon is not the pasuk. The pasuk of Atrei Rabban Lahatrei is when the majority is clear in front of us. If you have a reason to believe that there is a majority, how do you know that works? And that's, there's a whole Blat Gemara, the whole Daf Yeralef and the Chulin, and full Daf, Tildaf Yerbeis, and back and forth, Rayas, where do we find the Ruben the Lesser come on, where the we still go Bosa Rayas. The Gemara has great difficulty, and it's not clear how the Gemara finishes. At the end, Rashi and Daf Yerbeis says the Maskon is like this. He says, Ela Vadai, Rashi says, Ela Vadai Ochel Gesama Charuba, Hechad Loyash, Afila Hochi, Polig Bekotnik Tan, Mishum Dekshay Dan Nami. So Rashi says, Afila Hech. So Rashi says this two pshat in Rashi says. Firstly, it could be that Atrei Rabban Lahatrei Mashma Bein Ruba the Issar Kamon Bein Ruba the Lesser Kamon the Maishna. So the Maskona Sagamora, we didn't, the Gemara doesn't bring a clear chat. So therefore Rashi says at the end we're not machalic between the two. So even though the Pasuk is actually talking about Issar Kamon, we're talking about where the majority is clear, but since there isn't a clear reason to separate the two, then we therefore assume that Atrei Rabban Lahatrei refers to two. And the other pshat, Rashi says, is that perhaps it's Halacha Moshe Messina. That it's true, the Pasuk is only talking about Issar Kamon, but the Lesser Kamon is Halacha Moshe Messina, even though the Pasuk doesn't say it, that we also follow the majority in that case. And Rashi finishes off, this is Nageya Halacha Lamaisa. Vahom Milsa Samchinon, and this is what we rely upon, Lalei Batkinim Kol Yudches Trefus, in the Kivas Areya. So Rashi says like this. We shecht an animal. And how do you know it's kosher? There's yud ches treifas, there's 18 things that make things treifas. So therefore, so why do we, how do you know it's kosher? The answer is, we go bosaroi. Most animals are kosher. Most animals don't have their lungs pierced or other problems of the Yudchas treifas. So therefore, loy batkinan kol yudchas. You know, we don't check out all 18 treifas. Nekivas areya mishum deshchiach bareya so batkinan. There's one exception, Rashi says, and that's the lungs, because it's very common that the animals have a cold, and there's something wrong there within the lungs, so that we check. And then Rashi finishes off. But what happens? The shechted an animal, and the lung got misplaced. And the loibodak, don't worry about it. You can eat it, and you can rely on it. Because nishkata becheskas hetaymet. So Rashi says, even on the lungs is the one thing we do check. And Rashi said before, that's because when it's shkiach, it's very common there's things wrong. But in spite of the fact that it's common that there's problems in the lung, there's still a majority that are kosher. So since a majority are kosher and you lost the lung, you didn't have a chance to check, it's fine. But then Rashi adds a problem, something, and he says, v'ein mefarsim hadavar. Don't tell this to the shochtan, he says. Don't spread the word, because they'll always manage to lose it, they'll get more kosher animals, but if actually it genuinely got lost, that's fine. But don't spread it. It's a Russia. So that's the gist of the sugya, this whole block tomorrow. And this is the basic bones of the thing, is that's what happens. Now, Tosis asks a kasha, and Tosis says, the Gemara previously spoke about Chazaka, the Gemara and Daf Yudam and Beis and Chulin. And the Gemara brings the Psukim about the Gubasa Chazaka. We all know the rule of Ruba the Chazaka, Ruba Odis. If you have a Roiv, and you have a Chazaka, Roiv is, you follow majority, and Chazaka is the status quo. This is the way it was. Now, the rule is, if I have a Roiv, and against that I have a chazaka, So which of the two you follow? So the Gemara says all over, Pirushin, Vomis, Nida, that Ruba v'chazota, Ruba other. Roy is stronger than a chazota. Chazota is just the status quo. Roy is stronger. So once we know already that chazota is already, we know from the previous Gemara that the chazota, there is such a thing as chazota, and Roy is better than chazota. So if Roy is better than chazota, so we know Roy. Once the Gemara asks me, no, I'm also no Roy. Once I know chazota, and Roy is better than chazota, so I know Roy. So Tosfos gives two terutzim. There's one randoma that says that there is no real mocha for chazota. The second shot that Tosfos brings, another thing that we learn it out only after we know Roiv do we know that Ruba chazota. Only after we have a pasuk that Torah Aduma that there is Roiv, so only afterwards we know that Ruba chazota Ruba. So, what is the concept of Ruba chazota Ruba? In other yeshivas, it's known there's a chat from the Chanda Shleimer. Chanda Shleimer was a colleague and friend, a close friend of Rabbi Kiveya, and wrote the famous thing for Chanda Shleimer. And the Chanda Shleimer says in three children, he says like this: Roiv is a biro, Chazoka is an hoda. And in Yeshiva Shapalans, let me explain to you what it means. Chazoka, status quo. Well, we don't know what to do, don't do anything. You're not sure which way, to turn right or left. Stand here, you won't go wrong. You don't know what to do. Don't do anything. That's called chazokta. Chazokta is as it was, stay as it was. Roy is a bureau, he said. It tells you what to do. It's being mavarer what to do. Therefore, he says like this. If you have a chazoka, it's just a status quo. Roiv is going to tell you what it is. The majority tells you what it is. And therefore, Ruba v'chazoka, Ruba Odeth. If you have just a question, you have a question just staying the way it is because you don't know what to do. But on the other hand, I can be mavarish, I could find it out. If that's the case, then of course you should try to find out, and obviously if you find out, so I know what to do, so I don't need chazoka. Chazoka is when you're stuck, you don't know what to do. That's chazoka. Mashenka, if I can be mevarere through Roiv, I can find out through the odds are because of the majority, so if I know what happens, of course you try to find out what happens. A lot of Achronim don't agree with it, and they say that Roiv is not a real dearer. The odds are, but there's also, we know there's a mir, there's a minority that says otherwise, and this might just as well be from the minority. Right. The odds are it's probably from the majority. It doesn't mean that this thing is actually from the majority. It might just I know there's a clear minority. So the other way of learning, there's another mahalas to learn, is that ruba v'chazoka ruba others, is even if it's not a clear biru, but it takes precedent in doing nothing. I mean, even though it's not a clear, it's not going to tell me for sure which way it is, still, it's better than just following what it was and saying, oh, leave it the way it was. No, something happened here, you don't know which. The odds are, let's move with the odds, even if it's not a clear view. So another way, it's a hanhoga to follow the majority, even though it doesn't clearly define what really happened. Due to the time constraints, we can't go through the whole Indian of Roiv. If I spoke every day for the next 2 years, we wouldn't finish this with you either. But let's just go back to the Shaila of the Kashrus. And the first thing that Dovi Yisrael, first of all, the way to do about these things, you have a kasha, you're out. You go around putting out pamphlets that you can't drink milk. And it frightened a lot of people. And it was quite convincing, some of the pamphlets. And anyway, what happened was, when the Gedolei Yisrael had to answer, they said the following. There's two things you have to know. And one thing is, there's such a thing that's called statistics. And we all know that statistics is just facts. Yeah? But on the other hand, there's such a thing as right. And the two things can't be confused. And let me explain it. The Let's go back to the classic example which the Gemara says, which Rashi explains. And there were 10 pieces found. Now, what would be like this? Rashi says, if you find one piece, so Rashi says, since there's 9 selling kosher and only 1 selling trays, so then we assume it's kosher, right? What happens if I found 10 pieces? Found 10 pieces. Same thing would apply. Each one of the 10, I would say, is kosher. Yes, but now, what? But there's one, the odds are that one is in the tray for sure. That doesn't matter. Each one, on each separate one, we pass it in kosher. Now let's look at Shulchan Aruch. Can I cook all 10 together? The answer is yes. Doesn't say anywhere. Shulchan Aruch says, hey, Shulchan Aruch, you can eat each of the 10. Now, if it happens 10 times, I can eat all 10. And if all 10 can be cooked together, no doubt about it. Why not? Each one is considered kosher. Means like this. Each one, lefi v'halacha, the way it looks at it, is considered kosher. Now, what happens, and there's a Mishnah in Machshirin in the second paragraph that says like this. A baby was found in a town, and you don't know who the baby are, who the parents are. A found child. So the halacha is that you go basarois. If the town is there, if it was found in Bnei Brak, you assume it's a Jewish child. If it's found in Ramallah, you assume it's something else. It's an Arab. So the point is you go basarois of the town. Right? Now, the Pasuk can tell us what would be if a town is 60% Jewish and 40% non-Jewish. And they found a few children. They found 10 children. Let's say they found 10 children. Over the years, 10 children were found in this town which was 60% Jewish. And each one of the children are therefore considered Jewish. Could we make a minyan with these 10 children? Why not? Each one of the 10 were paskined to be Jewish. So therefore, the odds are that 4 of them are goyim, you make a minyan with 6 even. It doesn't work that way. Each one is oiskopaskin. From the Torah perspective, each one of the 10 are Jewish, that the town is Ruba Yisrael, and once the town is Ruba Yisrael, is then the children are considered a Yid, therefore all these 10 children are 100% Yidden, and they make a fine menu. Now, that is the way the Torah looks at things. So, then the people who sing, he said, what would be if someone were to swear? This is one of the things they write in their booklet, that they ask for the milk. What happens if someone were to swear? You have a whole farm with 10 animals. And he swears that every animal here is kosher. And there's no trace among them. Is that a shvur sheker or not? We all know that 20% are traces. And factually, 20% are traces. So if he were to swear, so the answer to that is very simple. So they say, Avada will be a shvur sheker, because it's not true. There's only 80% are, then 20% are trays. So the answer is very simple. It's not. It depends what he said. If he said in the shvur, 80% are kosher, and 20% are trays, and if he said all of them are kosher and not trays, that would be a lie. If he said 100% are kosher to eat, that's a shvur sheker. Right? In spite of the fact that 20% are actually a trace, at the end of the day, all 100% are kosher to eat. Because Rosh Behemoth Ksheris, and we're doing each one of them, are edible to us. So therefore, 100% are considered kosher, even though 20% are the Metzias, not kosher. So it depends what the person said before he's confirmed. If the person said that none of them are trefa, that's a lie. If he said they're all kosher to eat, that's correct. So it comes out like this, the boss can say. It's true that in every farm there's a certain percentage of animal kosher. Therefore, when they pool all the milk together, and we have, let's say, 100 cows, and 20 of those cows are treifa, and we pull all the milk together, and now we have 20% of the milk is treif. No, that's not true. 100% of the milk is kosher. If this 20% was treif, it wouldn't help either. It would be shishim. And 60 times as much, we haven't got that. But the answer is very simple. At each and every one of those cows, since we go basar roiv, and roiv behemus kshera, same the Gemara says, and since roiv behemus kshera is, therefore we assume all the animals in the farm are kosher, therefore the milk is also kosher. That's the halacha of the Maisa, that this chumra that they came up with doesn't exist.